these levels are higher than any stress levels that they measured all of last year.
Right. Yeah.
So the fact is that amongst like all of those numbers, the higher end, those numbers are higher than they've ever seen them.
Right.
In order to
Higher than the
give,
shutdown, higher than when people would stay at home.
right,
Yeah.
well, and to give like a little bit of context, since like they did it back in April, May time period last year, April, May was 0.2% less than we are now.
Right.
And so one of the things they said, like, before you jump in and say 0.2 is not that much, when talking to a licensed mental health counselor, that person said, "Oh my gosh, like this is bad."
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your host, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We have one of my favorite types of episodes today, and that's just the sharing of some statistical data along with interpretation of said data. So we're going to focus on some stats that we, especially Shannon, uncovered about pandemic-related stress. Basically, specifically here in the United States, we're almost a year into dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. So it's interesting to see what it's done to our mental psyche. And you've discovered some stats regarding that. So we're going to go over those.
And specifically, we were also going to dive into the effects of specific populations. Some you may hear about regularly, some you may not. So we're going to really try to provide as holistic picture as possible.
Yes. So, but before that, guys, we want to thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Hopefully you shared this podcast with a friend. So if you've done so, great. And if you haven't done so, give us a rating review in the Apple Podcast Store or on your favorite podcast app.
Yes.
We do appreciate it, guys. But, our download numbers show us that you guys are doing both those, sharing and rating. So we thank you.
Yes.
So before we get into the main topic, we've got training recaps to recap.
Okay.
Allow myself to introduce
recap. Myself. Your recap.
So I got to work with the kettlebell this week, but I also did some body weight workouts this week, which was something I haven't got around. I know a lot of people hear this, especially who don't live close to the equator like we do. It was cold for us this week in the mornings.
It was.
It's
like we do really careful in how we say that.
Exactly. 'Cause
it's like, it was cold. I had to put a jacket on.
Cold for us, guys. So I have
it's
been...
It's snowing up north.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They got like so, 3 feet of snow.
I had been, do most of my workouts outside, and I think I got outside one day this week for an outdoor workout, and then it cooled off, so I did some indoor bodyweight workouts, and I think I got a Peloton in, so feeling pretty good from this week's workouts. One thing that was, I wasn't feeling too good after was like my first trip to my massage therapist for the first time in a few weeks, and I think I got a little bit, got my butt kicked by my massage therapist. So the day after was rough for me. And, you always, the massage therapist is always saying, drink plenty of water and, you might feel kind of crappy tomorrow. And I'm like, yeah, whatever.
That feels like you've been hit by a truck.
This isn't my first rodeo, lady. So I didn't say that, obviously.
Because that's rude.
But yes. But of course, I was sadly mistaken. I did feel like I was hit by a truck the next day. So I think it was a combination of getting out of the rhythm of going every week, and also kind of, the lady kicking my butt a little bit more so than I probably should have let her. So, hopefully back on track this week and back on track for the workouts too. The temperature is supposed to be a little warmer this week in the morning, so I think I'll be getting outdoor for some workouts.
Yeah.
How about you?
I did a little Peloton this week. I did a HIIT workout this week. did a little bit more Peloton, and I did a bar.
You did a bar workout.
I did.
Yeah.
Through Peloton has bar and Pilates classes now on there. And I did a bar a couple weeks ago, and I really liked it. And I used to take actual bar classes in a bar studio like 5 years ago, and I really enjoyed the workouts. It just wasn't my, I want to do this every day kind of workout. So I think it's really great for days when I don't want high impact and I just want to focus on like strength particularly. I know that sounds, if you've never taken a bar class, then you might be going, what? You're talking about just like sitting there and like wiggling your leg up and down? No, this is like an intense strength class.
Yep, you guys can go back and...
Nick tried it.
Yeah. There was a podcast where I interviewed my my bar instructor, actually. So it you can get a little bit of taste of it way back, man. That's probably several years ago now.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, that is always like one of my, it is, I think, one of my favorite, just like, you know, strength endurance classes. So I was really glad to take that again. That was nice.
Nice. All right. So this week's episode, we've got a lot of stats that we want to share, and I think you did a great job of kind of grabbing two different or three different stories, really, and having a common through line through them. And honestly, just to wrap them all together in one big umbrella, it's really Pandemic Express. Oh my goodness, Pandemic Express. I almost said Panda Express, but I meant Pandemic Stress.
This is not Chinese food buffet.
Yikes. Anyways, gosh, I wish it was that delicious. This isn't at all. So, pandemic stress and how it's evolved in the last almost 12 months. So, I think the first one we're going to talk about is from the is basically a collection of information from the American Psychological Association.
Yes, they did a check-in because they've done this kind of throughout. Say like probably like over the last year.
Yeah, almost like quarterly it kind of looked like.
Yeah, and they just are checking in and they report their findings, and a fourth of people responded saying that you're feeling a quote-unquote great deal of stress.
Right, and like to give you a little reference, they basically graded it on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 not being a lot of stress, 10 being a lot of stress. And literally, like Shannon said, the fourth of those people, like 25% of the people were between the 8, basically scored 8, 9, and 10 in their stress level. And then, like, the other 50% were 5 to 7, right? 5, 6, 7, I think, right?
4, 5, 6, 7, yeah.
4, 5, 6, 7, yeah. So, obviously, the majority, almost half, were in the median range, but you got a quarter of people above that.
Yeah. And so these levels are higher than any stress levels that they measured all of last year.
Right.
So the fact is that amongst like all of those numbers, the higher end, those numbers are higher than they've ever seen them.
Right.
In order
higher
to give...
than the shutdown, higher than when people were at stay at home.
Right. Yeah. Well, and to give like a little bit of context... since like they did it back in April, May time period last year, April, May was 0.2% less than we are now.
Right.
But, and you may say, and I like the article that I found is from a great, it's from that American Psychological Association, but it was covered by Poynter Institute and their incredible journalists. And they provide a lot of that thing that we love, which is context.
Yep.
And so one of the things they said, like, you know, before you jump in and say 0.2 is not that much, when talking to a licensed mental health counselor, that person said, oh my gosh, like this is bad.
And you even see one, if you're looking at this graph, Obviously, at the start of the pandemic here in the United States, which was the April, May, that's where it was 5.4, and that's what they're mm-hmm. referencing. Now it's 0.2 higher, but it was actually decreasing.
Yeah,
as towards, the year goes
towards
on.
Towards summer.
Yeah.
And then, funny how, I wonder like where that curved back
so,
up.
Yeah, I'm sure probably it was the election, I'm sure.
Leading into the election, like when the COVID started coming back right. high again, yep. and everybody's, all the sense right. of security went
yeah,
away.
Yeah, so I read a little bit more about this survey, just to give you like a little bit more context. It was from 2000, it was a survey from 2000 participants over 18 years older. I think the main thing to take from this is that it's cumulative, you know?
Well, it's not cumulative, it's sustained.
It's sustained too, yeah. And I think it's going to, I almost think it's almost kind of, not exponentially grow on itself, but it's like, I guess probably without proper help.
Right.
It's going to keep multiplying, you know?
Yeah, well, they looked into some of the things, like, particularly they asked people how they were feeling within the last couple of weeks. Now, this was taken in January, which was, you know, January 6th.
Yeah.
There were some really stressful things that were happening.
Right.
So I think there was a lot of stress around for people around, like, the inauguration. Is there going to be more drama, mm-hmm. whatever, violence? But they looked in, like, the words that came back the highest were things like anxious, sad, angry, on edge, like I want to escape. Nearly a quarter of people said scared and unsafe,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, in this world, that seems to make sense, but one of, like, the most heartbreaking things is that they also, about a quarter of people said that they feel like they can't trust anyone.
Right.
So it's literally all of the security in every way. People basically feel like it's been stripped away from them. So this was just a really interesting read. They contributed, they asked, you know, sort of where this was coming from, the sources, and a lot was coming from the question about the future of our nation. That was over 80%. 80% also said COVID. The political climate and the political unrest, 72 to 74% respectively. And then just what happened on January 6th, 66%.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a lot to do with politics and the pandemic. So I think all of that, when you look at what this is doing to us collectively as a nation, and the reason that we wanted to call out that that sustain point is because, just to give like a scientific breakdown of what happens when you're stressed,
mm-hmm.
most people are probably pretty familiar with that whole fight or flight response. That is our body's natural reaction to threats and things it deems dangerous, like, get away from this. Back in caveman times, that meant there's an animal chasing me, or I don't have any food to eat and I'm going to die.
Right.
Nowadays, it's more, I have a boss that's giving me a hard time, or I have to try to juggle a lot going on at once and also try to be all of these things to people and make it look effortless. You know, it's a lot less about actual danger and more about perceived danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that to us may seem like, well, that's nothing nearly as terrifying as like your life being in danger. Your body sees it as the same.
Right.
So that's the thing. When you get stressed, that fight or flight, it triggers a hormonal response and your body releases cortisol. That is your body's primary stress hormone. And it's essential because it regulates, it's regulated by your adrenal glands. And small doses of it are good. It's, you know, it's supposed to be that thing that keeps you in check, keeps you safe, keeps you in check. It also does a number of other things. It, you know, it affects your sleep and all these things when it gets out of balance. The trouble with the statistics that we're seeing here, and the reason that I sent this article to Nick, was because we've not had a break in a year.
Prolonged stress, yes.
And it's getting worse. Yep. So this has been going on for a year. Your body, to some extent, has almost continuously, for these people who are stressed, it's been nonstop. Your body's not supposed to do this. Yeah. Like, the adrenal fatigue alone that's going to be experienced by, I mean, not just our country, but the whole nation during the pandemic is going to be, like, I mean, no one's going to be able to measure it. Right. It's just, it's going to be, like, catastrophic. And what that does to you is it screws up your sleep. You think, like, your body has this natural clock where it's supposed to release hormones to get you sleepy and wake you up. Oh, when your adrenals are all depleted, that doesn't have the ability to do that anymore. So then you start sleeping worse. You start draining other parts of your body. And we're also going to see probably a rise in chronic illness. So not just mental related issues, but prolonged stress and the harm it does on your endocrine system is going to cause probably a rise in, like, all chronic illnesses in the future as well.
Yeah.
We look at this time and we say, well, you know, this is, we're going to get through this, but this is the long-term story that we're really looking at.
Right. Like I said, we're almost a year into it, and, you know, thankfully through technology we have a vaccine and it's being given out. So it looks like we'll be able to at least fight the virus itself, you know, with still kind of being diligent about, you know, any changes it has in changing some of our practices. But these are these kind of unintended or unforeseen problems that are going to spring up as a result of the virus. So, and that's going to say self-inflicted.
Well, the virus, but also politics.
Yeah.
It's been, this whole last year has just been compounded.
Right. Yeah.
By all of that.
I agree.
So that was one of the main reasons, because we've talked about, like, yeah, everybody's stressed, you know, it's okay. Like, try to manage your stress. The point is, we know that managing your stress is difficult right now. But these numbers and what's happening, it makes it all that much more important that you do make managing your stress and getting that under control a real priority.
Yep.
Because after a year, the data's showing us that stress is just on the rise right now. We had a little reprieve. It started getting better. And then, you know, December, January happened.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely something we wanted to explore today.
Yeah, hopefully we check in on this. They come out with some more data in the next couple of months. So hopefully, like, after the inauguration, after vaccines starting getting rolled out, and I know there's issues with both those things, but still, hopefully it starts going the other way.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know. So, but as you said, you had some other issues kind of tied to that we definitely wanted to share.
Yeah, so, you know, we don't want to repeat ourselves. We don't want to talk about the same thing every time we talk about stress. We've already gone into some ways that you can manage stress.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to those are tried and true. Like, take advantage of those. Go back and listen to that episode.
Right.
But we also wanted to explore specifically certain populations that, I mean, this topic was top of mind across the board. Because there were a number of publications that had articles on pandemic stress-related things. And the New York Times particularly had an entire roundup that they put into this one feature, and they called it, I think it's called the Primal Scream, and it's America's Mothers Are in Crisis. And it's all about how the pandemic really exposed that balance, that word, I think, I think it's like a four-letter word. Yeah. Balance for the lie that it is.
Yep.
And now basically an entire generation is, I like how they say it's teetering on the edge. And what they did was they set up a call line, and they had moms dial in and just let it out. Just tell what's on their mind. Just scream if they have to, whatever it is. They have audio from some of them, and I started out by laughing because as a mother of a young child, there were some that were really relatable.
Yeah.
There were others that I literally cried because these people were just so, like, they sounded so hopeless, and they're, you know, the things that they were dealing with were awful. So we don't need to go into, I think everybody understands the pressure on parents. This article specifically focused on women because there's definitely a disproportionate amount of stress that women are facing. And it's not to say that men aren't facing stress, but that the percentage of women is much higher because of things such as basically losing child care, yeah, and having to become a child care provider. Over 4.6 million jobs, payroll jobs were lost by women in the U.S. since the pandemic began. That's just women.
Yeah.
And when you talk about how out of that number, 32% within 25 to 44 age group lost it because of childcare, because they had to go be the childcare, and or because they had to cover that for one reason or another. They also talk about how 48%, they specifically broke out the percentage of Black mothers who said the pandemic has impacted their ability to provide like basic needs like,
yeah,
housing and utilities and food. And it's not just about burnout. This is when polling parents in general, I think if you know people that are parents, especially of younger kids, they're stressed because of virtual learning and the question of, are they going back to school? Aren't they going back to school? That's stressing everybody out. But compared to women and men, 69% of mothers have experienced adverse health effects due to worry and stress versus 51% of men.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's definitely to say that these are some unsettling things. 66% of mothers are the ones who took on the chief responsibility for childcare versus a much smaller number of 24% of fathers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, who's the primary childcare provider. It's usually a woman.
Right.
She's the one that takes it on. So then all of those parental concerns kind of fall more on her plate. So this whole thing, it was a very interesting, very eye-opening. I mean, we are parents in this pandemic. We have a young child. She's not in virtual learning. She thankfully has been able to stay in her school for most of the time. since we've both been employed.
Right.
Since there was a period there where I was not. And Ella stayed home with me. Mm-hmm. And that was my job. But looking for a job while having her home, I felt like a working parent trying to take care of their child, which felt extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. This audience is seeing, I think, yeah, that the whole idea of balance is just being shattered. And I think, as awful as all of this is, I hope that we see balance die as a word, because there is no balance. When you have kids, when you have jobs, when you have education, there's too many things going on with that. You cannot do them all well. And trying to keep up and do them well is going to just be constant stress. So at the end of this, really just wanted to call this out, because not because this is a foreign concept for a lot of people, but more to say there are things that can be done. And I really liked the fact that this article called out some things. There's a whole section on kind of like your legal workplace rights, uh-huh, for people who are maybe having to juggle a lot more at home, working remotely, not working remotely, having to worry about their kids. All that red tape, legal stuff, like how do you actually look into it? They have resources there. They also have suggestions for employers about how do you actually make work more of a, you know, a possible thing to balance with being a parent. There's a whole bunch of ideas they talk about, like sabbaticals, subsidies, nanny reimbursements, basically how employers and governments could support their workers. And then, very importantly, if you are a person who is stressed, or if you know a parent in your life who is just really struggling right now, they have a bunch of resources for mental health, including like suicide lines, speakingofsuicide.com, the National Parent Helpline, which I was frankly surprised. I didn't even know there was a National Parent Helpline. And then there are free online support groups for like Postpartum Support International, or Black moms, NICU parents, Spanish-speaking moms, queer parents, and more. There's all sorts of things. And then there's legal advice. The Center of Work-Life Law, National Women's Law Center, A Better Balance. And then, of course, there's always the food and housing assistance. But those are national and, I mean, local communities like United Way and stuff. But These are all resources that we as friends and neighbors, we also need to think about too. We need to think about how we can support those parents in our lives who are really struggling. Because the truth is, we've read the story about stress. Adding kids into the mix is going to add a whole lot more worry to your plate just automatically. Definitely reach out and help those parents right in your life. But because we don't want to just focus on parents, I think one group that gets frequently kind of left out of the conversation are singles.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we've had, especially one of my best friends was newly single kind of last couple of years, and went into the pandemic and as a single guy, and like you said, I for the first half of it really didn't do anything, was kind of on his own, not seeing anybody, just really kind of hunkered down.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that's not totally uncommon. No. It wasn't uncommon.
It's not uncommon at all. I mean, there's a lot of situations where you can find yourself as a single person just without other, you know, immediate bubble, you know, like we talk about like our bubble that we have, obviously our household is our bubble, but we also had like my parents in our bubble.
Right.
And, you know, there were other people that we had in our bubble, but I look back, if this pandemic hit when I was living in South Florida or Southwest Florida and working, you know, by myself near no family, like literally I have no family there down there. I can completely understand how that goes, because there were some times when I wasn't at work, I didn't see anybody for like 3 weeks.
Right.
That's my life was my work.
Yep.
And then I would go home and I didn't socialize for like 3 weeks. Just cause like time of year, whatever. And this article, which was also a New York Times article, says a pandemic is hard enough. For some, being singles made it harder. And I liked that they focused on this, because we hear about the parent struggle a lot because it's always in the news.
Right.
Whatever the school board's deciding to do.
And we are parents ourselves, so
right. Top of mind. But the importance, they really focus on the importance for human, not just interaction, but human touch. And how, like, there was one guy who said the most physical contact he'd gotten was with a cashier giving me change. I mean, that is really hard to hear. And, I mean, the tactile sensation is what we actually crave as humans. And it's not just, I mean, like, of course, being single, you're probably like, oh, man, like, I'm not going to have sex for a year. Or I'm not, like, I'm never going to have sex again. It wasn't even just sex they were talking about. It was just the scientific aspect that humans need touch. It's a necessity for life. It's been shown to be crucial as a mood stabilizer. So we talk about stress. Having these people off, like, siloed, disconnected from other human interaction, it's causing additional stress on them.
Yeah. Reading this article, it's kind of an interesting thing about the biological clock for people, too. Losing basically a year of you searching for a mate. Not necessarily that everybody needs a mate, but it is something that drives us. You know, it's kind of our biological drive to find a mate.
Yeah.
You know, so in losing a whole year of looking for that person can be
causing
another
stressor.
Yeah. So it's it's crazy to think about it. Like, I mean, I know we live in Florida, so yes, we've definitely a lot less stricter rules than probably other states and other countries, because the few amount of single people I spoke to. I mean, obviously, like I mentioned with my buddy, the first half of the pandemic, or the half of the, like, beginning where everybody was shut down, he didn't go anywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, he got to the point where it was like, okay, well, he wasn't in the age group that was susceptible to it, and nobody he was looking for in that age group was really susceptible for it, so he started venturing back out and, you know, got a girlfriend and, you know, a lot of people started doing that. So it's a lot of people started breaking that stay at home quarantine type of rules because they looked at the information and made the judgment call. And as long as they weren't interacting with people on a regular basis that are susceptible to the virus, they thought it, they deemed it safe for them to do. So I don't know how many people had that option though. It's like some of the states you couldn't. They're definitely not that option, or you risk penalty of fines or worse.
Yeah.
So like you said, overall, nobody has been immune from this.
Yeah.
You know, talking about virus, you know, nobody's immune to this. The stress related to this virus and pandemic, nobody's been immune. I think everybody has been subjected to it, even children. That's going to come out soon. That's going to come out soon, too, guaranteed, with schools being shut down in certain places.
Well, there's, like, legislation that's out for kids to completely redo a year. like just this whole year they're going to have to redo it and not have it be like a question. It's like if you want your kid to take the year over again, you do it.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to pass, but like this is the question on people's minds. Like those kids, they're going to have to deal with what that means in the long run.
And yep.
They're going to feel like they lost a year of their life.
Right. I agree.
So yeah, these two looks were really to shine a light on specifically what stresses and those situations look like for those respective groups. But it's everybody.
Right. And I think that we're just trying to share this information to really drive the point home that it's self-care. They talked about in that first article, we talked about self-care as things you have to do for yourself. And the things we've talked about before, Shannon alluded to that episode, I think it was specifically post-election stress or something. But it was things you can do for yourself to relieve some stress. But I think the time has come that you really have to start considering seeking medical or like professional help. And those yes. items you listed, those hotlines and the other type of help, whether it be legal help or if you have like food scarcity or you have food insecurities, that type of help, you really got to kind of reach out. Use what there's tons of organizations out there that are there to help you in these situations. So I think you have to realize that it's time to start reaching out to those organizations.
Yeah, and understanding that right now our government is solely focused on the physical health and economic well-being of the country. There is no plan. There's no part of that right now that includes mental health.
Right.
So this is why we say take ownership of this.
Yeah.
Do not expect someone else to solve this for you. Take whatever you can and give yourself a moment of focusing on how to bring that stress under control, how to practice mindfulness, do things you love, all of those things. It's for you.
Right.
And it's not just for you right now. This is, we're talking long-term health here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, it'd be hard for me to say that I'm pumped about that. I'm pumped about people getting help.
I know, we have to make
help.
A transition
I know,
here.
I'm pumped about people getting help, and hopefully this is something that inspires them to do so. So that's my segue for what's got us pumped for this week.
I like
it's weak, but it's something, right?
Yeah.
So what got you pumped? What got you pumped? What's got you pumped?
So mine is an item that I purchased. Actually, I've been wanting to get for a while. But it's really what this item is going to allow me to do. I finally invested in a new pair of running sneakers. And those who run a lot may cringe when I say I bought my last pair probably about 6 years ago. I stopped using them as running sneakers after about 2 years. I am not a runner by like habits right now. I would say I would be a cyclist way more.
Yeah.
That is my jam.
Oh, yeah.
But I have just been craving, because we are getting into that time of year here in Florida again where the weather is almost perfect. Like we have this little window where the weather is just perfect. It's not too cold. It's not too hot. I need to get my butt outside and I need to walk and run. And we talk about self-care and stress management. I don't want to push myself to do sprints. I don't want to push myself to do a freaking 5-minute mile. It's never going to happen. Right. But I do want to get myself outside. I do want to push myself to do different types of activity that are going to engage me and that are going to bring me into now. Because that is one of my great ways of helping manage stress.
Yeah.
And that's so good. I got some new Asics, they're gel Nimbus, and they're lovely.
Nice.
And they're like walking on little clouds.
Hence why they're called Nimbus.
I know. I'm very, very excited.
What's got me pumped is something that I guess some people might think is not getting pumped worthy. I don't know if that's what you say. But I'm actually just got my results back from my physical. All my blood work looks great. Yay. Except for the one thing that hasn't looked great in the last couple of years, and that is cholesterol. So I made the decision to stop kind of, I guess, putting my head in the sand about it.
And kicking the can.
Yep, down the road, thank you. And so I decided to go on medication to lower my cholesterol. So actually a statin, which if anybody's familiar with cholesterol medication, statins are the category. So I've got a category, so I've got a statin, I've got some other ones to help with liver function because I think that's been an issue with me for years. So I go back another 6 weeks to get another test to see how my dosage is affecting me, hopefully positively, so we can keep on with this. You know, I know it's a thing I might have to be on a lot more, you know, something pretty regularly, so, but hopefully, you know, the other supplements I'm taking with it can assist it, and maybe I'll go out for it one day.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something that I had to do. Getting older and having something that, like, not exactly heart disease, but having heart attacks in my family history, something I have to be cognizant of. So.
Yep.
You gotta do it now.
Not getting any younger.
Exactly right. So I'm pumped about that, and I'm pumped to be getting in the most optimal health possible.
Yeah, it's there's a good feeling in just doing something.
And I would say, what's got us pumped,
we should also say,
what's got us pumped in addition to our other ones is that essentially as we speak, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, our hometown Buccaneers, have just won the Super Bowl.
And not just like won it, like they really, really won
31-9.
And our house is vibrating right now because not only can we actually hear the fireworks from the stadium where the Super Bowl is being played, but the city of Tampa is going a little cray-cray right now. Yeah. And it's going to, I feel like it's probably going to start sounding like World War One again.
I know. Hopefully we get outside and take Jazz out. But
oh my gosh.
Congrats to the Bucks. I'm not a true Buck fan. I'm not going to jump on the back bandwagon.
Not going to lie, but yeah, they are our hometown team here.
Yes.
And we are going to support them.
Yep. So Bucks,
win or lose,
Super Bowl champions in their hometown, which is pretty sweet.
You can't beat the fact that, yeah, they made history in a lot of ways.
Yes,
today.
Exactly right. So on that note, you got anything else for them tonight?
Oh, no.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @theATFpodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.